Morning, Your Honor. Bruce Fine, representing Vantage Capital. We are here to talk about RCW 23-1.20, which is the basis of this case. Vantage is asking this court to reverse the trial court that entered an order enforcing PHTS's prayer to have this condominium unit that's the subject of this action be sold to them. First, I'd like to take up a procedural matter. I noted in the reply brief that it seems that the respondent has substantially supplemented the record inappropriately. Pages and pages and pages of newspaper articles that were added to the brief that were not part of the record below. And then throughout the brief, they are cited and quoted as if they were treatises or legal authority.
Well, for purposes of oral argument, assume that we agree with your position.
Okay. Thank you.
And will not consider the newspaper article.
All right. Thank you. All right. So let's talk about RCW 623.120, sort of an interesting statute that has not gotten a lot of play over the years. I think there's only one appellate case about it. As you read the statute, I think what it contemplates is that...
And that appellate case doesn't address the issue that's before us.
No. Does not. It was a different issue. Yeah.
Thank you.
So when you read the statute, part of the challenge here is to get an idea of what is really supposed to happen under the statute. And I think it's somewhat clear that the concept here is that subsequent to a sheriff's sale, real estate brokers in the area, the state, are authorized to treat the property as listed for sale in their portfolio and to go out and get buyers. And then this process is supposed to continue throughout the redemption period. If there is no redemption, then the highest offer is first in line, and they have to, in effect, meet the call. You have to step up. I think it's in statute. You have 2 days to put your cash down. If you don't, then the next offer in line becomes the qualifying offer. So that's I think, the way the statute is supposed to work. Now, what we have in this case is a situation where Vantage argues that the process and procedure that was employed by PHTS, the broker, who was ultimately the buyer, is so inconsistent with what the statute suggests and requires, that it two things. It's either not a qualifying offer, or it is so inequitable that the court should not intervene to enforce it. Now, in order for an offer to be a qualifying offer, it has to be an offer that's made through a broker listing the property. And that's been a focal point of a lot of the briefing is what is a listing? Now,
There's no dispute that Sullivan, on behalf of PHTS, was a licensed real estate broker?
No. No. So the question is, what is a listing?
Counsel, let's focus the argument here. The last sentence of subsection 1 of the statute is the section that is specifically at issue here. Do you have a copy of that here?
Okay. Yes, I do.
The first issue, as I understand it, is whether this is a qualifying offer. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in this particular situation, the successful bidder at the sheriff's sale paid X dollars, correct?
Correct.
And that has some significance because it's part of the calculus for what a qualifying offer is, right?
That's correct.
So that last sentence says an offer is qualifying if the offer is made during the redemption period, and according to the facts here it was, through a licensed real estate broker listing the property. And for purposes of my question, there's no dispute that there's a licensed real estate broker. Let's set aside what a listing means. And the amount is at least equal to the sum of 120% greater than the redemption amount. For purpose of my question, let's assume the redemption amount is X, so you need a a number that's 120% of that, and the normal commission of the real estate broker. That last part is not at issue. Now, the Graham case says that one may neither add to nor subtract from these specific provisions. Do you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So your issue appears to be that somehow listing affects this in a way that is adverse to your client, correct?
Yes. It's, okay. Well, it's adverse to the process.
Okay.
And it's just contrary to what the statute's about.
Okay. So do we agree that there was at least 120% of the redemption amount paid in this case?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question.
Do you agree or not?
I agree that there was 120% of the redemption amount.
Okay.
But that's how, that's not.
Let's just, for purpose of my question, let's just clear this out. So there's 120% of the redemption amount tendered. Commission was paid. Nothing left over to the owner of the property. It seems to me that the conditions of this last sentence were met, subject, of course, to your argument about what listing means.
Okay. The argument about listing is a significant one, but read, and I apologize for not putting this in the brief, but this came to my attention subsequent to the filing of the briefs after reading and checking other resources. Read the amount that is required, 120% greater than. That's not 120% of. That's 120% greater.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
That means 2.2 times.
Okay.
Not 1.2 times. All right?
Okay. Was that paid here?
No.
Okay.
No, it was not paid. Now,
did you make that argument in front of the trial court?
No, I did not make that argument in the trial court. And I'll tell you honestly, I don't think that's what the legislature intended. Because when you look further down, it talks about 120% of the redemption price.
So if you didn't make the argument to the trial court, why should we hear it? You haven't preserved it.
Because this is de novo and we're reading the statute.
Well, if you haven't preserved the issue, we don't usually hear that.
Even in summary judgment.
Okay. Well, in any event, we're here to interpret the statute.
Okay.
Okay? And the point that I'm making is that PHTS says, I literally complied with the statute. I put this listing out that has nothing to do with the property, has nothing to do with the property.
Well, you refer to a listing. Now, what are you talking about, the $170,000 amount? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. What does that have to do with the requirements of the last sentence of subsection 1?
Because the offer has to be made through a broker listing the property.
What does listing, in your view, mean?
I think we look at Mr. Sullivan's view. Didn't you declare?
I want your view of what listing means.
A listing is some sort of publication of the property as being available for sale with information about the property that is accurate. Mr. Sullivan says, I listed the property on Zillow.
He's Can listing us. Also mean authority to sell the property?
Authority to sell their property.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
By operation of law, this statute says that whether or not there's a listing contract, a licensed real estate broker is able to list the property using that concept
Correct.
Of authority to sell.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah, and running out of time here, but there's more to it than that.
You'll have 6 minutes in rebuttal then to deal with it.
Okay.
May it please the court, my name is Rod Harmon, and I represent PHTS, who was the buyer in this transaction.
And as we indicated, we're not interested in hearing about the newspaper article.
Sure. The PHTS made an offer to Vantage Capital under the statute. The statute is a substitution for a listing agreement. A listing agreement is an employment contract for a broker. It's required to be in writing and signed by the owner of the property under the statute of frauds, 1936-010, sub 5. Except in this situation, the listing broker does not need to have a contract and is given the statutory authority to go ahead and sell the property. And so the legislature put property that was sold at a sheriff's sale during the redemption period in the hands of every broker in the county to try to sell it in order to generate some extra money for the judgment debtor who is losing the property.
Well, the judgment debtor didn't get any money. I'd like to focus your attention on the last sentence of this subsection 1. And the question I have for you, as I had for your opponent, was whether the offer was a qualifying offer under this specific provision.
Yes, Your Honor.
The argument that the other side makes is that somehow the advertisement of the property affected the last sentence of this subsection. What is your response to that?
Your Honor, listing is not defined in the statute, so I go to the dictionary to see what that means. And it has three meanings. One, it's the authorization to sell the property. Two, it's the record of the broker's properties that he has available to sell on the property. And three, it's the property itself. That's Webster's Black's Dictionary is very consistent with that. So the listing is used in a lot of different ways. And one of the things I did in preparing for this argument was to go back and look at the decisions by this court where it uses the term listing agreement, but nobody seems to define it except in terms of an employment contract that authorizes the broker to sell the property. So it's the authorization to sell property that is the key part of the listing agreement. Of course, the compensation.
What case are you referring to that address that?
House versus Irvin discusses this from the Supreme Court, and Bishop versus Hansen from this court in 2001. In both cases, the statute of frauds was being interpreted and applied to listing agreements, and the argument was there was something that wasn't in those listing agreements that was required, and in both cases the court said no, that wasn't required. But both courts described the listing agreement as a contract to employ a real estate agent to go out and find a buyer for the property.
Well, that doesn't really support your argument that those cases talked about listing meant authorization.
It's specifically what it was. In fact, that's what they described the listing agreement as being, is the
so
the,
they do the address agree- that.
Yes, that's what a listing agreement is. Now, if you take out the agreement and say, well, what's a listing? Well, you've still got an authorization. That's clearly what the first sentence of this statute says. And even in the evolution of it during the legislature, that sentence was replaced. When it got to the Senate, questions were raised. Well, what does this thing mean? Because it was badly stated. It wasn't clear who was supposed to do the listing. And so the Senate amended it, and it said, well, it's the real estate broker that lists.
Well, let me ask you a different question. The argument, or at least the main argument here, appears to be that somehow the advertisement of this property for, I think it was
$170,000,
somehow impacts the question whether this is a qualifying offer. Does this record show why that advertisement was done? Does the record show?
No.
Okay. What is your response to whether that impacts the question whether there is a qualifying offer?
I think it's irrelevant.
And why is that?
Because I don't think the statute requires an advertisement, a publication, a written advertisement. I don't think it's clearly not defined in there. There's no definition of I can find anywhere that says that a listing is some kind of written publication. In fact, in the statute regulating real estate brokers, one of the things, 1885, in the definition section, it defines advertising as being, well, that could be oral. You could call somebody up and say, hey, I've got this property. And you would kind of expect that in this situation. This is kind of a sophisticated investor kind of situation where a real estate agent might say, I know somebody who might be willing to buy a property that he can't inspect.
Well, strikes me as a little odd that the same entity who listed as 170 is not going to offer that for the price. And how is the protection of the judgment debtor furthered by that kind of transaction?
Well, first of all, that assumes that there's a written publication that's required. Secondly, the statute doesn't give us any idea of any kind of content for it. Part of the reason for offering the ad is to show that the written ad is not required by the statute. Otherwise, look at the other things that the legislature did in the very same chapter, a session law. They said, all right, we're going to reform what the sheriff's notice of sale is going to be. That's an advertisement for the sale. They specified when it was supposed to be published. They specified the exact wording of it. And they specified where exactly it was supposed to be published. But they didn't do anything in connection with this statute. And that I think, should tell us that they didn't intend for that to happen. They just thought they were throwing something out there to let the market, the real estate market, and the initiative and competitiveness of real estate agents to go out and find a buyer for this property, however they wanted to do that. But they, if they were in the county, they had authority to go ahead and do that. They didn't have to worry about not being entitled to a commission, because why would the real estate agent go out and do this unless they were going to get paid? So the legislature said, this is how you're going to get paid. It specified that in the statute. And that's all that they meant when they talked about a listing. Actually, I asked for 15 minutes, but that's really the gist of what I have to say. Unless there are more questions from the panel, I can sit down. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have just 7 minutes.
You have 6 minutes. Sorry.
I want to pick up where we left off when my time ran out. It seems that the question is, listing, does it require this any kind of a written advertisement or paper or anything like that? In PHTS's submissions, they went through Black's Law Dictionary and all the rest of this. A listing is an agreement between a property owner and an agent, where the agent tries to secure a buyer or tenant for the property. Now, what does that tell you? That tells you that the broker is the agent of the property owner. So when you say to me, listing, what does that mean? If you're excluding the written advertisement that was on Zillow, you still have a relationship. I think you're getting to the listing is a relationship. It's an authority to sell the property. On whose behalf? It's the authority of the agent to sell on behalf of the owner. And by PHTS's own admission, and by a somewhat convoluted argument, they suggest that, no, this agent should be working for the buyer, and in this case, himself, because he's the buyer and he's the agent. So if you want to say that the statute says all you have to do is list the property, and that this written advertisement, as misleading and unfactual as it was, is irrelevant, you still have to look at what is the relationship there. If you're listing the property, you are by definition going out and looking for buyers for the owner. That's not what PHTS did. That's not what Mr. Solomon did, by their own admission. He went out for his own behalf, attempted to stifle competition, attempted to deter other offers for the benefit of the person he's supposed to be working for, the owner, and keep this property for himself.
Well, if it truly was a highball offer, anyone seeing the Zillow thing could have offered less, right? Wouldn't that be consistent with the statute?
Well, no. Sure, anybody could have offered less, but the listing doesn't even talk about the statute. Somebody looking at that says, it's a property for $170,000. Well, I'll take a look at it in the next couple of days if I'm interested. Well, the fact is that it isn't a normal offer situation, like a normal listing. The statute isn't mentioned, but the statutory procedure is going to govern. You don't have a couple of days to look at it because you put it in the listing on Sunday, and it expired on Monday, and that wasn't in the listing. You put a price that was so exorbitant in relation to what the minimum offer was that would discourage anybody from showing up. It's clearly that this effort was orchestrated to deter anybody from participating in this process other than PHTS itself and Mr. Sullivan himself. Now, when you go back to whether it's a qualifying offer says that it has to be made through a broker listing the property. If you want to say that listing doesn't require writing, doesn't require an advertisement, fine. But it requires that the broker have the relationship that the listing contemplates. And that relationship is agent for the owner of the property. And very clearly, that's not what happened here. It's very clearly not what happened here.
Now, did you make that argument in the trial court?
Oh, yeah.
PHTS had to be the agent for the owner of the property?
Oh, I don't know that we made that argument in the trial court because the notion that PHTS was acting on behalf of the buyer was not raised in the trial court. That was part of the briefing here. And in response to the briefing, we said generally that this listing did not qualify as a qualifying offer because
it did. No question about that.
Yeah. And then in an effort to explain that, I think, to explain that conduct, PHTS comes to this court and says, well, I was agent for the buyer, so I can put in all this disinformation for my benefit as the buyer and to the detriment of the owner. And so this specific argument was in response to that in the briefing in this court. There's two bases that we've asked for relief here, and one is to simply say that this is not a qualifying offer, and so it does not meet the demands of the statute. But the other relief is to say on an equitable basis, maybe you do have a technically qualifying offer, but the conduct is so inconsistent with who you were supposed to be advocating for and what this statute was supposed to generate that we as a court are not going to intervene in equity to order specific performance. And I cited the bond case.
Thank you.
Thank you.